the Fantasy Six-Pack Hour, with your hosts, Joe Bob and AJ Appleton.
Touchdown!
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right. Welcome to the Fantasy Six-Pack Hour. My name is Joe Bond, founder of FantasySixPack.net. With me, as usual, my co-host, AJ Appelgarth. What is up, man?
What's happening? Glad it's Thursday. Glad this week is almost over. Glad we're here to talk football. Got some killer guests tonight, so looking forward to
Absolutely. Yeah, we are talking some tight ends. We've done our quarterbacks, running backs, and receivers debate. Tonight we're doing tight ends to finish it out. Of course, can't continue without asking you all to hit that subscribe button, hit those like buttons, leave those comments, and wherever you're watching, wherever you're listening, we appreciate it. And of course, jump over to fantasysixpack.net/plans and become an all-access member, where you will get access to our award-winning rankings, our Discord channel, where you're going to get access to all of us here at Fantasy Six Pack, and you ask us all of your custom league questions. You get access to our projections, our draft cheat sheet, our DFS and betting advice during the season, and a whole lot more. It's well worth it. You can use promo code F6PNFL for 15% off. And guys, if you are looking for a new place to run your league, or you're just looking for a place to host your league, I suggest Fantrax. Look, you can go with the out of the box, you know, at a lot of these other sites, and you know, still fun, still fantasy football. I get it. But if you want a little more customization, and by the way, free customization, Fantrax is where it's at. We know other sites that have a lot of customization and not so free. So Fantrax gives you all of that and then some. Go over to fantrax.com/fantasy6pack to create your free account today, and it will be well worth it. So without further ado, let's bring on our guests. Bring in Mr. Troy King and Andrew Cooper. How's it going, guys?
It's going great, man. Excited to be back on the show, rocking with y'all again. I'm a boy, Coop. Really excited to talk about tight ends. Like, Coop apparently is the tight end guru, so you know, I actually had to do some homework and, you know, take notes for this show. But now I'm ready. I'm excited to hang out with y'all.
I'll tell you what, though. You know, this is my first time on this show. I've been on with Joe and AJ before. Troy, we've never done a full show together, but I do want to say this. I distinctly remember a moment where you made a call. It was Cowboys. It was Dalton Schultz versus Blake Jarwin. You were Team Schultz. I was on side Jarwin, and you got the best of me on that one. So I don't know. Who is the real tight end whisperer, Troy? Who is?
I don't know. Look, a broken clock is right twice a day. You know what I'm saying? So, but nah, you're right. That was a good call. And then we happen to be talking about Dalton Schultz later, so I'll save my take for later.
Yeah, nice. we got a great show. Glad to have you both here. Of course, Andrew, you are a lead NFL fantasy football analyst for Fantasy Alarm. Troy, you are a NFL fantasy football content creator for Football Guys, and I mean, you guys are both all over the place, but you know, that's kind of the top there. So great to have you guys here. It's gonna be awesome. Looking to have a little battle here with some tight end debates. And so how this works, for those who have not listened, and for you guys who, for you and Troy, or for Andrew and Troy who have not done this yet, what we're going to do is we're going to lay out two, maybe three tight ends at a time to you. We're going to give you their overall ADP and their tight end ADP and let you choose who you would rather have with everything being considered, ADP, team composition, you know, that being said. And so we're going to start right off the bat here with TJ Hockenson and George Kittle. Hockenson is at overall 45.5, tight end 3. George Kittle is 51 overall, tight end 4. You know, look, I mean, Kittle has been a beast, right? A tight top 3 tight end option many, many years. Has some injury concerns. Big yard after the reception kind of guy, you know, physical player. Then there's Hockenson, who has, you know, moved teams in the middle of the season last year, thrived, in my opinion, like was great for Minnesota. But you know, they're bringing in a new younger receiver there. So there's a little bit of concern on both sides, but also like both these guys are very talented. Who would you rather have? You know, they're both going right around the same range. So like, I don't think ADP is a big factor here, but Andrew, what do you got?
Now, to be honest here, if you were to take these two guys and switch them and you were to put Kittle on the Vikings and Hockenson on the 49ers, I would like Kittle better. I think Kittle's the better talent in a vacuum. But the problem we run into here is that for this particular position, unlike wide receiver, situation and opportunity is so crucial, right? So mm-hmm. when I look at the 49ers, last year when everyone was healthy, and this includes McCaffrey, Debo, Ayuk, and Kittle. Kittle was the fourth target on that team. He was kind of being kept afloat by touchdowns, which is a dangerous game. Hockenson has a path to being a top two target on the team. Last year, I mean, he just immediately leapfrogged Thielen the moment he showed up, right? And Addison's a rookie. So if you truly love Addison and believe in Addison, then maybe take George Kittle. But Hockenson's got the better quarterback. He's got the better path to targets. I can't take Kittle over Hockenson. And honestly, I find myself having a hard time taking Kittle at where he goes because of everything involved there.
Troy?
I really wanted to disagree with Coop, but I got it. I have to agree with him. So just like for all the reasons that Coop already said, man. So like George Kittle, he was second in touchdowns among tight ends last year, again, which kept him afloat. But TJ Hockenson, we know we switched teams, but he was second in targets, second in routes run, second in reception, second in receiving yards. It's just too obvious of a choice for me. And yet Jordan Addison, like Coop said, he's a rookie. He's going to get playing time. He's going to eventually, I think, become one of Cousins' favorite targets. But TJ Hockenson isn't going anywhere. I think he's going to be very involved in the offense. We know it's a much heavier passing offense compared to San Francisco, where, you know, obviously they're trying to run the ball more. So I think just for all those reasons, I'm going to go Hawk as well.
Yeah. I agree. And what's up, Toronto, Dave? Glad to have you here. I'm definitely Hawk over Kittle. I took Kittle in my Scott Fish. He sort of fell a little bit. And at that point, it was kind of like, yeah, why not? But he was like almost a round behind Hawk, even in a tight end premium league. And it was like, well, all right, that just feels stupid. But Hawk is, you know, getting, as you guys said, just just much more volume. He's a much safer player. And, you know, I'm actually kind of surprised that their ADPs are this close. I really did think when I was, you know, when we did the research that it was going to be a lot closer. And so I'm definitely Team Hawk here.
Yeah. I concur. I'll leave it at that. Not really much else to say. So the next batch that we have here, we're going with a triple decker of Kyle Pitts at 57.4 ADP, tight end 5. Dallas Goedert, tight end 6 at 65.4. And then Darren Waller coming in at 70 even, tight end 7. So of this trio, Goddard's been the most consistent the past couple of years. But he's also got two clear top target guys ahead of him up in Philly between A.J. Brown and Devonta Smith. Pitts is coming off an injury. He's still got a green quarterback in Ritter, and Waller could be the team leader in targets in New York. So we kind of got a big spectrum here. And, you know, based on this ADP matchup with the other two guys, he's kind of a bargain, you know, comparatively. So who do you guys think emerges from this group as that dude for 2023? Troy, we'll start with you.
This is a tough one. I think I'm going to go Darren Waller. I think I'm going to go Darren Waller just because, you know, Dallas Goedert last year, he was 15th in targets. So it was like we were talking about Devonta Smith, AJ Brown, they were the leaders on the Eagles. Kyle Pitts with that offense, he was first in deep targets, second in target share. So like, you can see the breakout, like he could possibly break out, but the way that offense is just too run heavy. I just not a huge fan of Ritter. I need him to prove it. I think that Darren Waller, like you guys said, he could lead his team in targets as long as he stays healthy. He's going to be a focal point of that offense. And also look at the receivers. It doesn't really have much competition. So out of these guys, I'm going to go Waller.
Dude, I really thought that I didn't think you were going to pick my guy, man, but I'm Waller too. I actually have Waller. This is where maybe you guys might disagree, but I actually have Waller at tight end 3.
Spicy.
Well, okay. The thing is, because of what I do for work, like contractually obligated to find breakout tight ends, like I have no problem taking risks and going for the high upside because, again, like if I'm going to draft one, I'm going high upside because I spend all this time trying to find breakouts. Like I personally usually don't draft them anyway because I have to do the yin yang tight end stuff and all that I write about. Mm-hmm. But Waller, I mean, you look at it, this guy, everything that we loved about him back in the days when Antonio Brown brought a fake helmet to practice and got kicked off the team, right? Like everything we loved is kind of back. That all got taken away with Devonta Adams and all this. Now he's the top dog. Wandale Robinson coming off a knee injury. Troy already pointed out the reasons we like him there. Kyle Pitts, we love him in theory, right? Like every match, it's impossible to argue against him when you look at the fact that his ADOT is like the second best of any tight end. His air yard share is number one. His target share is 2, but you have to make the argument that they're going to throw more. I don't think Arthur Smith wants to do that. And then Dallas Goedert, this is the take that people hate, is that I equate him to essentially what we call a handcuff plus for running backs, where he has standalone value. And he really has upside if somebody gets hurt. Now, the beauty for Goddard is it's kind of like a double handcuff where if either wide receiver gets hurt, now he jumps. But when both those guys were healthy, it was 8 targets a game for A.J. Brown, 7.7 for Devonta Smith, and 5.6 for Goddard, which is fine. You can start that, but for him to truly be unleashed, you need the injury. Whereas, as Troy pointed out, Waller from the rip could be right back to getting 10 targets a game and being the premier end zone target. And last year, quietly, even though he got hurt, Waller's, you know, he had like 0.6 end zone targets per game, second only to Kittle. So he still got it. He still got a little bit. I'm interested to see what happens.
Yeah, jump in here, so sorry, real quick, kind of like what you mentioned about the touchdown thing. Goddard was like 20th in touchdowns for tight ends. Like he just wasn't scoring either. Yeah. So just there's so many reasons to fade him, unfortunately.
The end zone touchdowns, like you would love to have a Jared Goff who wouldn't dare take off and run. You know what I mean? But versus because like those short range, the 5-yard touchdown pass is the tight end spot. But if Jalen Hurts is just going to take himself or do three of those power QB sneaks in a row and score, then it takes that away from us. You know, we kind of need those.
Yeah. No.
I mean, and looking at Waller, I like Waller a lot too on this. Obviously, as an Eagles fan, I lean towards Goddard, but I like having equal shares of him and Waller. Like those are honestly my two top targets that I'm looking for. If I don't have a chance like to have a Hawk or, you know, Andrews, or randomly a Kelsey fall to me. Waller, looking at his two breakout seasons really in 19 and 20, he was awesome. He was so good those years, you know, nearly 1200 yards, 107 receptions. That's just, not something you see. I mean, his touchdowns that year were also astronomical compared to his career numbers, you know, having 9. So that you don't necessarily expect, but in this New York offense, maybe you can. You know, Darius Slayton.
They've got like 18 slot receivers and Darren Waller. So there we go. I mean, they signed one last week. So
yeah, and now another
one. I can't believe of all the teams to sign another one. Cole Beasley. They already had Paris Campbell. I quietly kind of like screen check. Am I the only person
on our Discord? Man, we were just completely making fun of the Giants because they just signed Cole Beasley. And of course, the co-owner of Fantasy Six Pack is a Giants fan. So it was just perfect. and AJ are, you know, other NFC East team fans. So it was just awesome to chat there.
It's also a perfect time for me to throw in my weekly hashtag suck it Keith. brought to you by me and Fantasy Six Pack.
Oh, we have that banner somewhere, don't we? I told him. Yeah, there we go. Here we go.
Boom.
There we go. we did not get rid of it. I love it.
We will never get rid of it.
No, I told the plane he's not allowed to delete it.
To get rid of it, we will bring it back. Bigger, stronger, louder. Okay.
Look, so to finish this up real quick, I'm actually a Goddard fan. I still think he's, I mean, just straight up a better offense. I'm not really sure the Giants can repeat what they did last year. I just really don't. And I know Waller is probably going to be the alpha receiver there, so maybe it works out for him. But I just worry with that offense in general, like repeating the kind of unexpected performance they had last year with, let's be real, pretty lack of weapons there outside of Saquon and maybe not Waller. I mean, as we just said, it's a bunch of slot receivers. And so, yeah, it could work in Waller's favor, but it could also mean that he just, like, they just take him away and just let these other like slot guys try to beat him again. And good luck. I don't know if it's going to work. And I still don't trust Daniel Jones. I just don't. And Kyle Pitts, you got to show me something before I trust you again, man. I am not even close to drafting you a tight end 5. No way. I get it. It not happening this year. So moving on here.
Daniel Jones, I just got to say that I have been such a Daniel Jones detractor that I really haven't been a huge fan, but, and you know, he did get paid after only throwing 15 touchdown passes, but I believe in Brian Daboll. And I believe like you almost have to take that leap of faith that they know what they're doing. But Joe, you absolutely good point that there's a real possibility that maybe this guy isn't that good.
I mean, you know,
it's entirely possible, which that's a scary part there. I mean, but if he wouldn't be going tight end 7 if there was no scary parts, you know?
Yeah, that's true. So next grouping that we've got here is, sorry, I'm trying to multitask here. I'm not used to doing this. Evan Engram at tight end 8, 89.7 overall. Pat Freiermuth, tight end 9, 92.7 overall. And David Njoku, tight end 10. 95.5 overall. You know, all three of these guys going within, you know, 6-7 picks of each other. This is the grouping here that I kind of find myself being gravitated toward in drafts. Personally, like, as much as I love Kelce, I don't see myself taking him in round 1. I got burned by that a couple years ago and it didn't work. He still had a great season, but it wasn't a round 1 season. Andrews, Ha, Kittle, all these guys, there's other players in that spot of the draft that I'm going, I'd much rather have better receivers, better running backs. This is how I've played forever and don't see myself going away from that very often. This range though, these guys are all viable guys. Ingram, you know, is sort of a, in my opinion, last year I kind of had a re-breakout, if you want to call it. You know, now of course they're going to get Ridley back in that offense, but you have to assume that this offense is just going to get even better, right? In my opinion, and maybe Ridley there opens up more for Ingram. Freiermuth, you have to hope that second year quarterback Kenny Pickett takes a step forward and, you know, he can take a leap you know, forward as well. I like Freiermuth. The talent there is great. It seems like the perfect, like the quintessential tight end, right? He just feels like that guy. I mean, nickname is Muth, right? I mean, like when you get those like Muth from the, that's like tight end chant from the crowd. That's it. David Njoku, guy who's been kind of up and down, you know, in times of in his career. Gonna have Watson. Hopefully he remembers how to play quarterback again. He could be huge at tight end 10 and that deep in the draft. Who do you guys like? And Andrew, we'll start with you.
Yeah, I mean, Freiermuth, Pat Freiermuth is such a Steelers name.
Right?
Like, it's such a coal miner name, right? So I it is the right fit there. So I will say this. It's very rare for – so every tight end going back to 2003 – Randy McMichael, Troy.
Nice.
Yeah, nice. He was the last tight end in PPR to have to finish top five without either 90 targets or 10 plus touchdowns. And the touchdowns are hard to come by. Very rare for guys to not get 90 targets and get 10 touchdowns. Kittle last year is one of the examples. There's been about 10 examples though over that span, which is almost 20 years. So the 90 targets is what we want. And if you really think about it, very rarely do we have three guys on the same team get 100 targets. Last year, only one team did it, the Vikings, and they wouldn't have done it if they didn't trade for Hawk and kind of mess with it a little bit. The year before that, no team did it. So when I'm looking, and you really need high volume to get there. So when I look at Pat Freiermuth, I personally, Deontay Johnson, 3 years in a row, 140 plus targets. You got to ask yourself, it's Pickens versus Muth, and can Kenny Pickett even support two guys? Right. Same thing with Evan Engram. Like my Twitter followers there, I've been an Evan Engram fan forever. And my Twitter followers, you know that, Troy, and my Twitter followers, they can't wrap their head around the fact that I'm out on Engram this year for the same reason, where it's like, I love the talent, but with Ridley and Kirk and Zay Jones, man, you got to make a bet. And I would rather bet David Njoku versus Elijah Moore and Donovan Peoples-Jones than I would on any of the other guys. So honestly, I don't find myself taking too much of these guys. And if my advice to people out there is, if you do like these guys, like Joe, you make a good point about these guys being relatively safe. Like Evan Engram, you at least know if you start him week one or two, he's not going to get zero targets, which is in the range of outcomes for a lot of these guys. Dalton Kincaid could be zero. Cole Kmet started the season last year with back-to-back zeros. So my advice is, if you do like these guys and you want to take them, just use one bench spot on the highest risk, highest reward player you possibly can. We call it yin yang tight end in the series that I do, but it's like, if you wait and take tight end 10, 9, David Njoku, then that means you use your first 9 picks on running backs and wide receivers. You can afford to use one bench spot on just the highest possible, highest reward guy. So
don't that's my advice. With like quarterbacks, like if you take the super back end quarterback, you might want to take a little risk on one of those, like, you know, dart throw quarterbacks that could like propel themselves. We see it every year. Right.
I say it all the time, man, where it's like, how did you actually get Patrick Mahomes? Maybe there were some sickos that just said, I'm taking QB 15 and I'm starting week one. But the reality is, there were only two ways. You took two quarterbacks or you rushed the waiver wire and you got him.
Yeah. Right?
So same thing with Mark Andrews, Darren Waller. He was like 10 and 17. Like, you weren't starting in week one. You either took two or you got lucky on the wire. So I say beat the wire. But to answer your question in a very roundabout way, my choice is David Njoku of those three. Thank you for your time.
Look, I love the speech, man. I'm gonna give my little own speech before I give my answer. So let me talk about Evan Engram, because I know that's Coop's guy, and that's the guy that I'm mostly out on. I want to say out because that sounds strong.
I was hoping you're gonna be in, because I would have so quickly. You know, if anyone makes any argument for Engram, I'm like, yeah.
Because the thing about it is, right, it's like Engram last year, third in receptions. And the thing that stands out to me that I don't think is going to happen this year is that he was first in slot snaps last year. But what's going to happen with Ridley is that Kirk is now going to probably take a lot of the slot snaps, and you're going to be putting Engram somewhere else. So he's not going to get those same looks. I mean, again, the coverage for like Kirk and Ridley might help Engram, and obviously he got that big contract, but to me, it's going to be a prolific offense, but Ridley's going to command so much of the target share, it's not going to look the same. And yeah, he's a fine pick, but you have to lower your expectations. Now it comes down to Pat Freiermuth or David Njoku. So the thing about David Njoku that I like is that he was second in red zone targets. So touchdown wise, that was kind of sexy, right? And but Pat Freiermuth, he was just very, he's good, right? And then like Coop already said, it's between Pickens, Deontay Johnson. I just think that he's still going to be a red zone guy. If I had to pick between these guys, I actually lean Pat Freiermuth. I think that Kenny Pickett's going to take that next step. I think he's going to, I mean, I know what you guys are saying in terms of supporting Deontay Johnson, Pickens, and Pat Freiermuth, but I think that he's going to still be consistent. He's going to be that red zone target. He was sixth in the receptions last year with Kenny Pickett being Kenny Pickett. So I'm assuming that he should at least be within that range again. He's also sixth in receiving yards. So I think that Pat Freiermuth isn't going to go away. I think he's still going to be part of that offense, at least one of the focal points. So I'm going to go Pat here.
See, I wonder with Pat, like also wondering if, you know, how much Najee Harris also, like, I think we're discounting him into that equation also. Like I'm on the Ingram train here. I know that Ridley is there and that's going to hurt him. But look, he finished tight end six last year in, it actually might have been higher than that if I can filter correctly here. Tight end six. He's being drafted as tight end eight. I feel like a little bit of the discount is already kind of baked into that. And if he was being drafted as tight end six, he'd be drafted, look at Dallas Goedert, like two rounds earlier. You're getting a two-round plus discount to take tight end eight. I feel like it's already baked in. So like that, I feel like that's good for him on arguably the best offense out of these three. And so Njoku, yes. Could the Browns become the best offense? Yes. But that relies on Deshaun Watson being good again. And it was not good last year at the end of the year. And there, yeah, a lot of rust get knocked off for him. Maybe he figures it out, but man, that's when you have huge question marks at the quarterback position, I don't love it for the tight end. I'd rather take the tight end with the better offense when these guys are like lumped in and have seemingly similar roles in the offense. I get all the points you guys made, but I'm an Ingram guy here when it comes to these guys. And, you know, the ADP is close enough to where you can kind of pick and choose between all of them, you know, in most drafts for me.
Break the tie, AJ. What do you got?
I'm actually with Joe on this one. I'm going Ingram because you don't know what you're getting out of Calvin Ridley. Sure, he's been a productive receiver 3 years ago, was his best year. And then he was injured in 2021, so we can't necessarily hold that against him. But you go from an injury year to a suspension year. We have no idea what he's going to come back and look like. What happens if he looks like Deshaun Watson at the end of last season?
He's looking pretty good at training camp. I know it's training camp, but...
I'm not trying to discount him, but I'm not putting him immediately back up at 2020. Somewhere around 18, 19, when he was kind of behind Julio or like a 1A to Julio, really. Those were still fantastic seasons from a fantasy standpoint where you were getting him. But again, I'd like the discount that you're getting. And again, my Eagles fandom knows Doug Peterson, knows how he likes to utilize the tight end. Mm-hmm. We saw that last year with Ingram going through the re-breakout again, that we thought we were going to get every year with him at the Giants. And we just didn't. It was like rookie year hit, missed for a couple of years, hit again, and then nothing. And then he comes to Jacksonville. So I think this offense in Jacksonville is going to be a little more pass heavy. They don't want to burn out ETN. With the ground game, they brought in Bigsby to help out there as well. I think both of those guys are going to be capable in the pass game as well. And it's another year of, it's Trevor Lawrence coming into his sophomore year, as far as I'm concerned, because his rookie year was a freaking train wreck with Urban Meyer. So now that he has
we all know that.
A you know, solid former QB head coach who knows how to teach him, and that was seen last year. He's going to have another year under his belt, another year working with Ingram. I'm just leaning Ingram. And again, I think it is the best offense as well. So,
and he didn't come on until kind of late. Like he didn't catch on to that offense until a little later in the season. I kind of wonder, like, another offseason in, like, if he's going to be like that much better to start the year too. So, and then, you know, to Andrew's point, like, maybe you take Ingram and then maybe take a super late flyer on another one. And so, like, if Ingram and, you know, Ridley starts going this way and Ingram starts going this way, then maybe you got your other tight end coming behind Ingram and going and catching up, you know, so to kind of hedge your bets. So,
all right. So speaking of getting back to Mr. Dalton Schultz here, he's coming in at tight end 11, ADP of just over 113, and Chig Nkonkwo at 116 even at tight end 12. I know we're like basically going in order every tight end 1, 2, 3.
Promise, we're not doing that the rest of the show.
It's hard.
It's over.
But that's how that group, though. This is the position. Like,
yeah.
These guys, 113, Schultz 113, that's still like almost 20 picks after Njoku. So
yeah. There's like massive gaps in tight ends.
It is.
So this is how you got to group them for sure.
Yeah. So obviously both, you know, AFC South options here, to me, they're kind of headed in different directions because Schultz is coming from Dallas where he was a high volume red zone guy, and now he's going to be a potential safety net for the rookie QB in Houston. Meanwhile, Chig is basically on this crazy upward trajectory because of last year's late season success in Tennessee. But now he's also fighting for targets with DeAndre Hopkins. But that could ultimately be helping him because those defenses are going to be focusing on Nuke, and that's, you know, an obvious benefit for him. So which of these two guys are you targeting for 2023 and why? Troy?
For me, you have
the floor.
Yeah, no problem. It's Chig pretty easily. Nuked. Yeah, I'm going to say
I love it.
It's pretty easily Dalton Schultz for me. I like Chig, but I think it's Dalton Schultz pretty easily. I'm sorry. it's Dalton Schultz, man.
Taking that knife, it's not your twisting fault. The
it's
memory.
It's not your fault, Troy. No. It's DeAndre Hopkins' fault.
It is, absolutely DeAndre Hopkins' fault. I mean, before the DeAndre Hopkins signing, it was a little bit closer, but to me, it's for a couple different reasons. One, like AJ said, he's going to be the safety blanket for a rookie QB. They paid him a lot of money to get there, because there was a time period where, like, you know, the tight end market was kind of fizzling when he became a free agent. Like, oh, I don't know if anyone's going to sign a tight end to a decent amount of money. And then Houston came out of nowhere and was like, you know what, we're going to bring you in clearly to help support our rookie QB. I think that also just looking at the wide receiver competition, Nico Collins is the wide receiver one. You know what I mean? So I'm like, that's just, to me, that's part of the opportunity where I just feel like you're going to see Dalton Schultz getting a lot of targets. And Chig, like, he had a late stretch, but then it's like, now you're also looking at an offense that's clearly run through Derrick Henry. So then it's like, one was already and run D-Hop through Derrick now. Henry. And now it's going to be D-Hop. So D-Hop
and Treylon Burks.
And Treylon Burks. And then it's like, you just have to hope that
Piling on my boy.
you just have to hope that she gets random touchdowns. Like, that's the only way that I see him being. He's like a streaming tight end now. Or he's in that kind of category.
DFS.
Like, yeah, DFS play. Like, it's, to me, it's easily Schultz. I hate to say it because I like Chig. I have him a lot of places, but I don't see how you can confidently pick him over Dalton Schultz.
You're right. Yeah. And it was Chig for me. He was my top breakout play, but we have to adjust new information.
Yep.
Right? Like, you can't put him as a top two target on the team anymore. And my dynasty philosophy is start opportunity, roster talent. I still like the talent of Chig, but now he goes on the back burner. We're just holding him and we're waiting for his window of opportunity. Some of these guys, I mean, Delaney Walker took 7 years to finally be a top guy, right? He had to come to the Titans from the 49ers to finally have the opportunity. So we just wait. But Troy's right. And honestly, the Texans did the AFC East a favor when they signed Dalton Schultz, because I look at what the 49ers do, right? And Mike McDaniel brought that offense over to Miami, And now D'Amico Ryans and Bobby Slowick are bringing it over to Houston, right? And it's what they do is they use a fullback on like a huge chunk of snaps. How many snaps did Alex Engel play last year for you guys, Troy? Like crazy, like
almost 40%.
Yeah,
so
it was
many snaps.
And Kyle Juszczyk does the same thing. The first thing that the Texans did, they signed Andrew Beck. They're going to do the same thing. And what that does is it consolidates the targets among two wide receivers and the tight end. Because when you use that fullback, you're taking somebody out of the game. It's not going to be Schultz. It's not going to be the running back. And it's going to be the third wide receiver. So I think Schultz is actually, it's basically going to be him and two wide receivers. And two of those guys are going to have opportunity, probably just one because it's a rookie QB, but why not Schultz, right? So yeah. I'm with you. He's got that opportunity. He, after Waller and that crew, is there another tight end that I can, even using your wildest imagination, is there another tight end that could lead their team in targets after Schultz? Because I don't really think there's anybody that I could definitively say that they even have a chance. Maybe, I don't even know, honestly. Maybe Gesicki, but not even. It's probably Juju.
I know.
But I'm just saying, like, even just using your imagination, it's very difficult. Like, I can't even say maybe Hayden Hurst, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah. We do have a question, though. I wanted to bring this up here. So Randy Miller asked this question. Hey, guys, it's off topic, but I had a draft question. 12-team PPR, often staring at Bijan Kelsey at the 108. Which would you guys rather take? I guess HM Dig CD. I don't know what that means.
Maybe those are other options. Sure, go ahead.
I guess.
108. I think in a PPR league, I think I lean Kelsey, man. I feel like I understand. I'm kind of with you, Joe, in terms of like my usual strategy is to go. I like running back. Usually I like my running back. My first.
I'm old school, man. I've been around for a while. Been around longer than you guys. I'm running back heavy.
But 108, but
honorable and honorable mentions is what that is. Diggs and CeeDee. Yeah, it's not those guys.
No, I'm definitely not taking Diggs.
I kind of like Diggs.
At 108?
At 108? Nah, I'm taking Tyreek over him if he's there.
Oh, Tyreek's gone, bro.
Is he gone at that point? Yeah, at 108? Yeah, probably.
Vegas has Tyreek set for like 1,300 yards, dude.
No, he's gonna go crazy.
He's getting 2,000. That's what he told everybody. So
I think I'm going Kelsey because you know what? In the second round, I can still get a solid running back. But the problem is in the first round, if I could get Kelsey at 108, I think it's just positional advantage. I know it's kind of queasy in terms of the roster structure, but if I could go tight end, running back, and then worry about wide receiver later, I think I'm gonna go Kelsey.
Funny, we're doing a bunch of draft strategy articles. Like by pick, like if you have 1, 2, 3, or 4, like you know, all the way through 12, and I'm doing the 6 now. I was supposed to do the 8, but I'm going on vacation. But I'm doing the 6, and so in that like 4 through 8 range, Kelsey's always there. So like we're not all gonna be like, oh, let's all draft Kelsey and just see how it rolls out. So we're all just like mentioning Kelsey in our articles, and so I did it 106. I actually took Bijan at 106 just to see like how it would play out. And it actually ended up being a pretty solid draft, but I think it actually would have worked out better had I taken Kelsey and just like waited. There, like you said, there's a ton of running backs going there. I don't like taking Kelsey there. I'm old school. Bijan wouldn't have been my pick though. I actually would have taken Saquon over Bijan at 106, especially now that he's back. And you know, so maybe Bijan's not the guy. I don't know who else is there at 108. I feel like you're missing on some guys here. I'll like Diggs and CD shouldn't be the only other dudes there.
The answer to this question is 108 is the worst pick.
It sounds like it. It's so hard. Sucks, dude. Yeah. So I'm glad I'm not writing that draft strategy article now. I would probably take
Bijan, man. I don't know. My policy on tight end, and I've adjusted it for Kelsey. Like obviously if Kelsey falls in the right spot, I take him. But I just have a hard time taking a tight end and I obviously understand positional scarcity, so nobody needs to explain that to me, but a tight end has never been the number one flex player, right? It's been tons of running backs. It's been Antonio Brown. It's been Cooper Kupp, but a tight end has never scored the most flex points. And I have a hard time taking a tight end. Like I have a hard time sitting there and taking Mark Andrews, even when there are guys on the board that I think could be the highest scoring player in fantasy football.
Yeah. I get it. And that's why I don't usually do it.
I don't think
it,
that's going to be Bijan, though. I think he's going to be just fine. But like Joe said, I'd rather take Saquon. If Saquon's there, I'd rather take Saquon.
That yeah. So it's hard to say like who else would be like, there, he said, I love Bijan. Don't get me wrong, but I could get Gibbs, you know, Aaron Jones, Najee, and the third. And I get it. I totally get it. I'm taking Jones and Najee over Gibbs any day, by the way. I just don't believe in Gibbs being a lockdown running back the entire season. I love him as a talent, but he's a rookie going into an offense that's pretty established. They don't have to lean on him right away. We've seen that a lot. With
I would say 1 point versus half PPR does make a huge difference for me when it comes to Gibbs. I will say that.
It does, but I'm still not leaning on Gibbs in round three, in my opinion. No way. There's other players that I feel like are just going to be better. Gibbs is one of those guys who, like, if you were able to trade for him halfway through the season or something, or somehow, like, you stacked the back end of your draft and just got to the playoffs. With Gibbs, you're going to be like, yeah, I won the league because I had Gibbs. But you didn't get there because of Gibbs. I guarantee it. You just happened to get lucky and he was on your team. That's what it feels like. I mean, come on. We did this with Jonathan Taylor a few years ago. Like, he was horrible for the first half of his rookie year. Then he was like the best running back the last half. It was like, okay. So
then he became everybody's first overall pick.
And then he
saw the next year.
And then we won't talk about it. All right. Let's move on here. So next grouping here, we've got Tyler Higbee at 139 overall, tight end 16, and Gerald Everett, 148 overall, tight end 18. So a little bit of a gap. So I told you we weren't going to continue the countdown. Look, both of these guys are on very pass-heavy offenses. Both of them are I think arguably the tight end one for their team. Both have had really good seasons and really bad seasons. And very touchdown dependent seasons also. Who do you guys like at their given draft cost? I forget who went first last time. I think Troy, you did. So Andrew, you go first this time.
Is Tyler Higbee and Gerald Everett?
Yes.
As crazy as it sounds. Because to anyone that's followed me or followed any of my stuff, it is Tyler Higbee if I was going to pick one, simply because of the opportunity. Like, in a vacuum, Gerald Everett's obviously more athletic. I think he's a better pass catcher. Again, if you were to swap the players, we would like Everett. I would actually love Everett if he was back on the Rams. And if you could go on a time machine and send Higbee to the Seahawks and then down to the Chargers, then it would have been better, right? These guys were teammates at one point. But even though Higbee is – kind of clunky, not particularly fast, doesn't really break a lot of tackles. Targets are king, man, in every format, even standard. So you got to give me Tyler Higbee. The problem I have with Gerald Everett is just simply sit down and start listing the target pecking order for that team, right? Because obviously Keenan Allen was amazing. When he came back healthy, he was the second player in PPR behind only Justin Jefferson, right? And then Austin Eckler is 100 targets, right, every year. And how much lower can he get than that? 80, right? And then there's Mike Williams. And they drafted Quentin Johnston. I mean, like, where am I even?
Like, still got Josh Palmer. If they have Mike Williams healthy, right?
We have yet to see, I guess.
So it's like, it's crazy where it's like Gerald Everett. And the thing about Gerald Everett that people don't realize is that he only played essentially one game with more than 70% of the snaps. He was like virtually a part-time player, even while all those guys were banged up. It was very strange. I think he had some conditioning issues. If you watched him in that Kansas City game with the pick six, he was just gassed. Like, he just lied down and they took the ball the other way. So I don't know what's going on with Everett, honestly, but I can't.
Mean, he didn't even start every game. He played in 16. He only started 11.
That's what I mean. The thing is, he's not even one injury away. Like, we can't even sit here and say, like, Goddard. No. Like, at least with Goddard, we can say one guy goes down, this guy is going to be tight end two or three probably. But with Gerald Everett, guys went down and he was okay, right? But like, how many guys need to get hurt now for him to be awesome? Like, if Mike Williams gets hurt again, they have Quinn Johnston, Eckler, and Keenan Allen. So I can't take Everett in any situation.
Boston Strangler has a opinion here about Rams will run the ball more this year. Higbee isn't a good blocker. Akers was excellent when full healthy in the end of the season last year. Rams running game will hurt Higbee. I mean, I get it, but
Higbee's a fine blocker. I mean,
and I feel like Higbee, we thought of him as a blocking tight end, and then he suddenly got targets.
Yeah.
Well, Troy, to your point, I was looking at the numbers, and I was like, why is he getting more targets last year? There was a season a couple years ago where he blocked on 37% of his pass plays. Pass plays. It's like you might as well not even be on the field if you're blocking on pass plays at tight end. And then last year it was like 7%. They just decided, like, you know what? Let the man run free, dude. They like let him loose. And, I hate it because I don't like change. You know what I mean? Like my job. How much easier would our jobs be if like things didn't change from year to year?
But they wouldn't need us. Yeah.
They wouldn't need us.
So I guess everybody stayed the same age as their prime year and didn't get older and continued to produce at prime
level
with no injury.
Here's what I want. I want the running backs and wide receivers and everything to change, and I want the tight ends to stay the same. I want my job in particular to be easy, and I want your jobs all to be hard. That's what I want.
And Coop, I gotta agree with you, man. It's easily Higbee. Last year, it was really Cooper Kupp in the Higbee show. There were multiple games. I think it was 3+ games where he had over 10 targets in those games, and I thought Allen Robinson was going to do something. Clearly, that didn't go as planned. Van Jefferson was banged up. Even when he came back, he wasn't really.
Memories on the show.
It was
wrong with you.
You know, it was a nightmare. And even this year, what did the Rams do? They had no draft capital. They had no money to bring anybody in. It's the same offense. So if Cam Akers is going to be more involved, but to me, that still doesn't look at the receiver. Look at the receivers, unless Puka all of a sudden becomes a superstar. I don't think he's going to just
kind of like that. I kind of like that, though.
The dynasty players like it.
No, you're right, though. It's probably not going to happen.
It ain't going to happen.
It's going to be the Tyler Higbee show.
Dude, has there ever been a more nothing offseason than what the Rams did? They didn't really lose.
It's going to be nothing for how many years, right?
You guys are clearly forgetting about living in a van down by the River Jefferson here. That guy is going to be living off St. Louis government cheese in the end zone all year.
Good, man.
Just mark it down.
His dad's a coach.
Let's move on to the wide receiver. I don't really have anything else to add here. You guys said it all. I'm Higbee.
I'm Everett, man. I love Everett. I think he's just – I like Higbee, and of the two, I lean towards him being the more productive one, but –
I think this is the point where Higbee is the safer and the more upside play than Everett. Where we were talking about Ingram and Freiermuth and Njoku, where like there's a little bit of like mix and match between all three. Like you can argue either side. Higbee is clearly the safer route because, I mean, he's probably the number two receiver on the team.
Here's my point Here's my point on Gerald Everett and Irv Smith, right? Is that the way we project the targets out, where they're third or fourth or even fifth on the team, if those guys are good in fantasy football, it won't matter who drafts Gerald Everett because whoever drafts Justin Herbert already won the league, right?
Yeah.
Because for all those guys to be relevant, the last time I've seen that, four guys being relevant, was a 2013 Broncos. And it was like, Welker and Emmanuel Sanders and Demaryius Thomas and Julius Thomas, but Peyton Manning threw 55 touchdown passes. So it's like almost like if you can make it happen, if you can make it happen, then it doesn't matter who has the tight end because, you know,
it's all just going to work out no matter what. So
Herbert could do that though. I mean, I'll give you that.
I get your boss's strength. I'm not talking like you need the safe in the 12th round. I'm saying like I think Higbee is safer and has the more upside at this point because he is the number two in that offense. So anyway,
this is the point where you're exactly what Strangler's saying. Like you need to get those dart throws and take risks on some of them. So
what's the upside?
You should already have a safe team at that point.
You should probably just draft somebody before.
Don't draft either of those.
Let's be real. We're drafting people before any of these players.
We're in the doldrums.
The next option is you're definitely drafting other players.
This is clearly your
waiver wire. We're hoping at this point.
Tight end premiums. Is that a impending doom fuzzy navel, Joe?
It is. Did you see that?
Good eye. Nice KDR.
Holy hell.
Yes, I did.
I just bought this pack tonight. There's a pack of Impending Dooms in my fridge. Different kinds. This is one of them.
Oh, nice. That's I got a sixer of those and pretty good.
They're tasty.
I'm on I haven't
Mr. Skippers.
I haven't had a beer in 10 days. Kicker. 10 days no beer. I'm my wife is pregnant, so I'm on
you're on call.
Yeah,
beers, I get it. There are beers coming, hopefully in the near future.
I get it. No, well, then, yeah, yes and no, man. Yes and no.
Believe it or not, I hit that 10-day mark. I was doing a dry July. 10 days in, I was like, you know what?
Dry July? What?
Yeah, I don't know. It was, a terrible, terrible idea. Dry That's January. Why it's over. And
right, it lasted right. Yeah.
Until the day after the Scatfish Live.
Gloomy month, man.
January.
No, my birthday's in January. I can't do that.
February.
Yeah, there's a lot of words. You might have picked the number. You might have picked 12 out of 12, man.
There's always a reason. Anyway, let's move on, man.
All right. So, last question here. We've talked about one of these guys briefly. The other one is Juwan Johnson at tight end 19, coming in at a hefty 158 ADP. And Mike Gesicki at nearly 180 ADP, tight end 24.
So one of my favorite players.
Got a little
ever.
Bit more of a gap here. We're not going 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I mean, really, all I have on these guys is that both of them are heading into 23 with new quarterback throwing to them. You know, both teams seemingly have more run centric offenses, though. So, which tight end option should we want to roster? Question mark. Reading the teleprompter.
So this was definitely the hardest one out of all the different options you gave me. I think I'm going to go Mike Gesicki because the reason why is because the Patriots know good and well they did not bring Mike Gesicki in to block. Because he's a horrible blocker. The only reason you brought him in is to catch the ball. So I think that, look, we have Hunter Henry, who's basically good at both. So, you know, he's going to block. Mike Gesicki's just going to be he should be a touchdown scorer. He's going to, you know, match up on linebackers, safeties, whatever. That's his job. His job is to catch the football. Juwan Johnson, he was just really inconsistent. He had his moments. He scored a lot of touchdowns, and I think that was part of his success, where you would have to hope that Juwan Johnson is like, you know, Derek Carr's Darren Waller for him to be relevant. Is just the Saints offense in general, I'm not excited about. I'm not excited about the Patriots either, but the Patriots shouldn't be as bad as they were last year. So to me, I'm going to go Mike Gesicki.
Us Patriots fans coming from Dolphins fans, we'll take the backhanded compliments even. Not a good blocker? Well, I don't even care about that. I've seen.
I cared.
The thing is, Mike McDaniel does care. That's why he got phased out. He needed two way tight end for that system, which is fine. You know, enjoy Durham Smythe. He's so good, dude. Mike Gesicki, this guy, Alex Barth, the beat writer for the Pats, who pulled all the transcripts of Belichick talking about Gesicki, and basically 8 or 9 times someone said, what do you think about the tight end for the Dolphins? And he said, well, actually he's a big wide receiver. That's how he started it every time. And I think that's how he's going to use him. He's going to try and recreate the 2011 offense that Bill O'Brien coached, which of course every version they have here is worse, right? It's like Tom Brady is Mac Jones. Rob Gronkowski's Hunter Henry as the inline tight end. Aaron Hernandez is Mike Gesicki, and then Wes Welker, who got 173 targets that year, is Juju. Like, every version's worse, but you know what they're trying to do. So, honestly, Gesicki could be a top two target on the team after Juju. The thing with Juwan is, I like Juwan as a converted wide receiver. The problem is, as Boston Strangler pointed out in the chat, he says Eno will be Olave and Thomas show. That I do like Michael Thomas, right? My advice to people out there, I see you shaking your head, Troy. If you don't like Michael Thomas, if you think he's washed, if you think he's going to get hurt, my question to you is, what are you doing about it? Right? Like, so if you think Michael Thomas is going to get hurt or he sucks, what do you say?
I said running away, avoiding the plane.
Running away. Okay, so that's fine. So, but the thing is, their car is good enough to support Olave and possibly another guy. So, do you like Rashid Shaheed? That's fine. Do you like Juwan Johnson? So that's my point. I do like Michael Thomas, but if you don't, maybe you do like Juwan Johnson. For me personally, I think Mike Gesicki could outright be a top two target on the team after Juju and him playing the slot. I don't know. I look around. There's not too many options of, you know, like Sauce Gardner only played in the slot 9 times last year. So he might not go in there. We might be all right with Gesicki. So sneaky upside play. I think of the guys that could come from outside the top 20 or so tight ends, where'd you say he was going? Is he tight end?
Tight end 19. So close. Yeah. So close. Johnson's but 19, yeah.
No, Johnson's 19. Gesicki's 24. So
yeah.
If for someone like Engram to come out from outside the top 20 tight ends and finish top 5, like I think Gesicki, of anybody going outside the top 20, he's got as good a shot as anybody.
Yeah.
Right? Like, not saying it's going to happen.
I've been taking late stabs. Like, I actually took Gesicki late in Scott Fish because I was like, you know, especially tight end premium, I'm like, hell yeah. Like, again, I'm with Troy. Like, they did not bring this guy in to block. They clearly didn't, you know, they lost Myers. They brought in Juju. That's hard to rely on a little bit. Although, you know, I like Juju better than most. I think he can be reliable, but again, you're still dealing with Mac Jones. Gesicki is awesome. I think he's way better than how he was being used in Miami this last season. And I think his stock has plummeted because of that. And I think we're going to see him bounce back to him being utilized in an offense that knows how to use tight ends properly. And red zone target, especially. So some rapid fire guys, if you are ready for this. And I realized I completely forgot to change the banner here. That's why I have Mike LaPlante behind the show. Thank you for being on a bachelor party, loser. Just kidding. rapid fire. Dalton Kincaid at 119.2, tight end 13, versus Dawson Knox at 164, tight end 22. Teammates, rookie versus vet. What are we doing?
I love Kincaid. I just argued with every single person on the internet on my timeline about him. If you want to see my takes on Kincaid, I don't even care. They right. paid up, you know, to go real quick. They paid up for him. This is a team that's in a win now window. If they paid up and took a pass catcher in the first round, that pass catcher isn't heavily involved. As a Bills fan, I would have the pitchforks out.
Yeah, it's for me, it's just the rookie tight end syndrome for me, but I hear the arguments. It's hard. It's hard to trust it. Troy.
I mean, I agree. I was surprised because, you know, they just gave Dawson Knox a fairly nice extension too. But for them, they looked at the draft. They're like, hey, this guy is just a weapon. He's a mismatch. So I'm a little nervous about his rookie year, but you don't make that move in the first round when you have a tight end without making sure he's in this offense. So, and we'll see if Gabe Davis is the number two. I'm assuming he's going to be the number two, but Kincaid in the mix. But yeah, I like Kincaid.
All right. AJ? Next guy we got here is another name we mentioned, and that's Mr. Cole Kmet going at 124.5, tight end 14, versus Greg Dulcich, 129.1, tight end 15. So right there, both have quarterbacks expected to take a step forward with Fields, you know, another year under his belt. Russ looking for a bounce back. Troy, which one of these guys do you want on your roster more?
This one was really tough when I saw it. I think I'm going to go Cole Kmet. I think that, look, last year he was very involved in the offense. I know they brought DJ Moore, so he's obviously going to be the one. But at the two, I don't necessarily think that Darnell Mooney is, like, so good that he's absolutely going to be, you know, he's going to be the wide receiver too. But then I still believe that Cole Kmet is going to be involved enough where he can still get enough target share and he's going to be looked to the end zone. So I'm going to go Cole Kmet.
All right, Coop.
I'm going to disagree on this one and go Greg Dulcich, even though Judy and Sutton, that's pretty stiff target competition. I don't see how Fields goes from throwing 318 passes. I know he missed a couple games, so you can take the per game average and make it 350 or 60 if you want. up to the level where he's going to support multiple guys. You know, I just think it's I trust Sean Payton to try and use Greg Dulcich, kind of the Jimmy Graham spin on it. So, but it's close enough. Troy made a good point on Komet, but I'm going to go with Greg.
Yeah, I'm Dulcich. I think the offense is going to improve. Tight end, it's going to regress for Komet, unfortunately, I think. So next up here, Sam Laporta, 147 overall, tight end 17, and Michael Mayer, another rookie, 159.6, tight end 20. I know we're probably not relying on either one of these guys for real in 2023, but, you know, I know some people are. So which one would you think has a larger impact in 2023, Andrew?
I got to go with Sam Laporta. I love Sam Laporta, man. He broke 23 tackles in his senior year. This guy is elusive. I'm calling him Sam Teleporta. And Michael Mayer, I think you still want to stash him long-term in Dino, but his window to be a difference maker probably comes when, you know, Josh McDaniel's gone and Devontae Adams over the hill, and they don't have like 200 Renfros over there. So I like Laporta, man. I think the thing with Laporta is he needs to start hot because Jameson Williams is coming back. So he needs to grab a hold of those targets and never let go.
I agree. I mean, just for multiple reasons, but honestly, you hear him in since the beginning of the offseason. You've been hearing nothing coming out of there but Sam Laporta. He's clearly got that tight end one job. I mean, I don't have much else to say. I'm going Laporta as well.
Yeah, I'm on Laporta. I'm a Mayer fan for Dynasty a little bit more. But I still trust Laporta. You know, Mayer's like combine wasn't great. Like he seems more like just a overall like good tight end. Like, and he might end up becoming more of a blocker. Like he doesn't stand out as far as like athletic, being able to catch down the field type of guy to where Laporta does. So that's what gets me there. So AJ, last quick fire here. All right.
Last one we have here is another name we briefly threw out, and that's Mr. Hayden Hurst, 203.4, tight end 28, and Noah Fant, 209.5, tight end 30. So real close again, but which one of these vets has the better late round dart throw potential? Troy?
I'm going to go Hayden Hurst. I think them bringing, I love the signing by Carolina. Again, one of those signings that helps support the rookie, you know, QB. I think that he did a good job for the Bengals. I feel like he had his opportunities and he was reliable. And then I feel like he's going to be the starter. I think he's going to be very involved in the offense. So I like him a lot. I think, again, he could block, he can catch. But yeah, I'm going to go Hurst. I feel like Noah Fant in the Seahawks offense is way too much target competition for him. So I'm going to go Hayden Hurst.
Yeah, it was already bad before they drafted JSN, right? Now it's like wild, dude. And they insist on mixing in Will Disley for some reason, right? So like Noah Fant to me, like we love the athleticism, the profile. He's the guy where like I just in the back of my mind, I could picture him being the Delanie Walker that finally gets a chance somewhere. But he's just been stuck, man. He's been stuck. Hayden Hurst could be the top target on his team. It's all about who the rookie likes, right? We don't know. You know, it's like, is Adam Thielen that dominant of a presence that he commands all those targets? It's a rookie DJ Chark, you know, so like Hayden Hurst could be the
boss
dude.
Is turning 24 team leagues. Though, like these are the types of guys that like if you draft one of these riskier tight ends up top that you're hoping you like Hayden Hurst could be a guy like super like last pick or like honestly like week before the season starts, like, you know what? I'm going to drop this scrub who gets cut from his team or gets hurt. I'm going to snap up Hayden Hurst. Why not? Because he's not getting drafted. We all know that.
Strangler, the year. So every year for 6 years now, a tight end's come from outside the top 17 in ADP to finish top five. It was Engram, Eric Ebron, Waller, Andrews, Logan Thomas, Dalton Schultz, Engram again. The year that Troy invented Dalton Schultz, his ADP was like tight end 37. You know what I mean?
I guarantee you Kittle was in there too. I picked up Kittle off the waiver wire in a dynasty league. How crazy is that?
Fifth, Kittle was a fifth round pick, and they basically only took him because they took his college roommate earlier in the draft. Kittle was roommates in college with CJ Beathard.
I literally had no idea who the guy was. And all CJ, of a sudden, I was like, this dude's balling.
They took CJ Beathard in the third round. They were like, let's just take this guy.
I'm just going to take Kittle like off the waiver wire in like week three of whatever year that was, years ago now. And I just swapped him out for, my team sucks now. My team's like old. So I'm trading all the older guys, swapped him out for like a 105 in this year's pick in draft. And I'm like, well, that worked.
They're out there, baby. They're out
there. Yeah, so it happens. So, All right. You guys got a few more minutes. We're going to go through some news and headlines. Got a lot of things that have been going on here. First up, Joe Burrow left practice today, carted off the field, grabbed at his leg. We're hearing it's a calf. Coaches are saying it's not anything to be worried about. He'll be back, you know, but man, when you get carted off the field, that's no bueno. What are you guys doing with him? Like, if you're, if we don't get a lot of updates in the next couple of weeks from him and you got some drafts, I know, Andrew and Troy, and
it was,
we got drafts probably coming up on the expo in a couple of weeks. We got, there's Raz Bowl coming up here and, coming Monday. That's why AJ's wearing the shirt.
Yeah.
Burrow may not be definitive at this point. So how do you handle this injury coming, early August, late July draft? Andrew.
It was already close enough for me where it's like, in this moment right now, I couldn't possibly, you'd be outside of your mind to take Joe Burrow over Justin Herbert right now because of how close it already was, right?
Right.
Like, if one of them might be hurt, then it just it almost saves us from having to make that difficult decision. I honestly personally put Lamar Jackson and Justin Fields probably there too. So I guess now I will throw it to Troy to make the difficult decision of where you stop that slide. Right. So it's like, if you look at the way it goes right now, I personally would take those guys.
It would be like a Lawrence and a Watson.
Trevor Lawrence or Joe Burrow if you had to draft today?
Today with that injury,
you're on the clock right now, dude. Yeah, I took the easy part.
He's on the clock right now. We guarantee
it to you for the hard.
It's happening.
Yeah. Oh, that's a tough one. I think without certainty, I think I'm going Trevor Lawrence. I think for me, I'm stopping like right after Watson, so like before like Tua, Dak, those guys. Yeah. I think I'm stopping. I'm gonna take Burrow.
Yeah, Scampers go Tua or Burrow
I love Tua. I think
I love Tua too, though.
Tua's
awesome. I like him too. Jeff Lambert was on the show a few weeks ago and just called Tua an MVP candidate if he can stay healthy.
Absolutely, he was it last year.
I agree. I totally agree.
Second year in the offense, he's gonna go off. I think right before Tua, I think, is that slide. Like before Dak, before Tua. I think it's like him and Watson to me would be the tough part. Again, it's just because of uncertainty, but I'm like, I need my QB. I can't be stressing about if he's gonna play or not. I need clarity. So I think Watson is that line.
Dude, take all your drafts and push them back to the end of August now.
Yeah, I agree. It's hard to do though, man. We can't all draft. It's the moment zone, like 15 leagues. I can't drive 15 leagues in 4 days. So they all get spread out and it's tough. The ones that are early, we struggle with it. I don't honestly know what to do. I had a Burrow at five. I had him behind Lamar already. I just recently put him behind Fields and Herbert. It's that Lawrence Burrow that I'm like, man, if I could,
I'd feel sick
today. Probably wait. I probably would take Lawrence, and then I'd be like, I don't know. Maybe I'll take the chance on Burrow, but man, I'd be the first one to take like a Geno. I'd be taking my first backup real quick, and that's probably why I just wouldn't take Burrow. Honestly,
just go Burrow, Anthony Richardson. Oh no, you can't do that because they both don't start to start the season, you need another QB. Yeah.
they have to start
Minshew. We don't even Fine. Know.
Burrow or Gardner Minshew.
Minshew thinking every rep so far. First QB right. one. Hey, Troy, QB one.
No.
All sure. right, so next up here, we've got Saquon Barkley signed his one-year contract. He's going to play this year, so he is no longer holding out. Only Josh Jacobs is holding out. So quick question to you, like, is he just immediately back into that top 3-4 running back? Like, where I think everybody would agree it's CMC, Eckler, no matter what order you want. Is Barkley your 3 or is somebody else there?
Yes. Troy.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Okay. AJ?
Is he my 3? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, me too. Okay. Next up here, Javonte. This was actually like much bigger news. Javonte Williams not starting even camp on the PUP. That's huge. Like, we didn't know what was going on. Obviously, they brought in Samaje Perine. Williams, to me, is a superior talent to a whole bunch of running backs. Health has been a major issue. How high are you willing to draft him now that it seems like he's going to start the year and be healthy? And I'm doing air quotes. We hope, right? So now,
Belichick proved to us a while ago that these quote unquote rules are not like in, you know, he was the one that kind of forced the hand by putting everybody on the questionable list, but like nobody treats this stuff the same way. And I worry that Sean Payton is such an old school coach. I mean, he cut Brandon McManus from not showing up to voluntary practices, you know, like, I worry that he's just the kind of guy that's like, I know, but I just worry that Sean Payton's the kind of guy that's like, you know, he sees him like walking around and he's just like, you're good, right? And then, you know, it's like, are you hurt? If you're not hurt, then you're practicing, right? Are you injured right now? You know, like that kind of coach. Whereas another coach might just be like, you know, I don't know. I worry that Payton is kind of, the narrative here isn't that he's ready to go. J.K. Dobbins himself like was in the same boat and he did not look good. So I'm probably still steering away from Javonte Williams, especially if he's going to get steamed up here. I don't know. What do you think, Troy? Are you going to do? Are you pulling trigger?
I'm nervous about it. I feel like, let's say I'm in a draft. If I'm going very RB heavy, and let's say, because Javonte, what rounds are you going? He's going like mid rounds or whatever. I have to look, but I would say.
So I've been doing a bunch of mocks with that strategy series I'm doing, and granted, I mean, I don't think ADP has caught up, and even like some of the rankings have caught up yet. I think he's been going in like 7-8 range, six at best.
Yeah. If I have two, if I like started off hot and I wanted like an RB3, then maybe I'll take my shot on like Javonte, but like I wouldn't like wait and like rely on him as like my RB1 or anything. I
think absolutely not.
It depends on your structure.
He's definitely been like, whenever I've been doing my mocks, I've been getting him as like my flex running back, and I'm like, I will say this, somebody reported earlier today, he was actually cleared for contact too. Gives me a little bit of like,
I need to see the contact.
Is this guy Wolverine, dude? I mean, how is this possible though? I don't.
His ADP back on July 6th, he was at 75.5. So that was at running back 28.
That feels pretty good.
It's going to shoot up. So
I've moved him up to running back 24. So I'm not like overhyped on him, but I have moved him up. Like
one kid though, man. It takes that one kid in your draft
Of course. Yeah. And you know what's going to happen? Right. We're going to get those couple of videos of Javonte Williams where he's going to like bust off a big run and it's just going to go. We're going to see it. So yeah, it is what it is. But a couple quick last things. Kadarius Toney injured his knee. He's going to have actually surgery on it to like clean it up. Now his week one is in doubt. And this was a big, like, to me, Toney was a big breakout candidate. But I'm out at this point. I don't know about you guys.
Yards per route run was what why we liked him, but I mean, if he's gonna be banged up,
yeah,
I don't know. And I'll I'll tell you this right here.
He's going late, but I still think it matters anymore at this point. I'm just out.
We never root for injury or victory lap injury, but I will just say on a completely separate note, that I have $100 down to win $5,000 if Rashi Rice wins Rookie of the Year, Offensive Rookie of the Year. So just want to get that out there. Just want to make sure that that's out there. Not that we root for it. Troy, did I light 100 on fire, Troy? Is that what you're saying?
I think I would have bet it on some other people.
I got in at ground floor. Now you look at the odds now, they're like 100 to win $2,000. So, I mean, I still threw $100 away, but, I mean, just think of
the odds. Never know, anything's possible.
Just think of the odds.
Yeah, you either threw $100 away
or I threw it away.
Threw $100 away. There's a lot of comments here. I'm trying to do multiple things at the same time, guys. I'm sorry.
I've been trying to.
This is why Mike LaPlante's around. I apologize. We got the last question here. Brock Purdy actually cleared to practice. What do we think this actually means for the 49ers quarterback situation? Who wants to take this one? Because I don't have.
I'll say that, look, if Brock Purdy's healthy, I think he's the starter. I mean, I think he earned the spot. I have no idea what they're doing with Trey Lance, though. I think you have to try to trade him at this point. I just don't see why you'd go to Trey Lance. I mean, I don't know. I just feel like Brock Purdy did enough where he earned the starting job. Unless
I agree.
Trey Lance has had an awesome camp, which it doesn't seem like he's had some spectacular camp.
Nobody's been saying that.
Exactly. So just give the job to Brock Purdy, and I don't know what you're doing with Trey Lance. So
yeah,
bingo. This is one I'm in. I'm down. Like, that offense is so good. Like, whoever's the quarterback, I'm in. So, and like, look at the guys going around now. Like Mac Jones. I mean, yeah, even as Patriots fan, come on now. Like, Brock Purdy needs to go ahead of all those guys. Ahead of Kenny Pickett, ahead of Jordan Love. Would you take AJ? Would you take Jordan Love or Kenny Pickett ahead of Brock Purdy? Given what we kind of know now,
of the two,
those are close.
I'd actually kind of go Pickett.
Let's say they came out and said Brock Purdy's the starting quarterback for the San Francisco 49ers. Just they straight out told us. You'd still pick it?
I think I would.
It is close, but I mean, dude,
it's very close for me.
That offense is so good.
Purdy balled out. Like,
how many offenses can you say? Most offenses, you maybe have one player, right? 32 teams, 11 players on offense. You maybe have one player who's the best at his position, if you're lucky. This team has the best offensive tackle.
Jamie Brown is the trailer to the Falcons.
Oh my! Hey, why not though?
This team is the best offensive tackle
in the league, best running back in the league, best fullback in the league, arguably the best two-way tight end in the league.
Don't talk about the best left tackle in the league, man. That hurts.
Who is?
because he
came from, but you know what I mean? Because you know where they came from.
Yeah, that hurts, man. But he is though,
Washington.
Right?
As I'm rubbing my Washington hat,
he kind of is though.
He absolutely is. It just hurts.
You think it's somebody else, Troy?
No. I'm saying I agree with you. I'm just saying, hey, Joe hurting because he was on the
Commanders. I know, yeah. I love, and, so that's another reason I love what the Dolphins did, though, is that they're trying to build that same offense. They get the fullback. And then they got Teron Armstead, right? Like,
yeah,
pretty good. Great. If you're trying to find a Trent Williams, they got the best one available on the free agent market that year.
I don't know. Maybe I need to backtrack on it because San Fran still has a hell of a defense too, so that helps the quarterback.
It doesn't help the quarterback when you have a great defense because it means they don't have those shootout games. But offense is just efficient. It's safe. Come on, Garoppolo was able to thrive. Like, we know Garoppolo's not great. We know Purdy's not great, but he did awesome things. Like, if you're looking for, especially in super flex leagues, if you're looking for like a great QB2, if you're looking for like a plug-in like streamer quarterback, if you're streaming quarterbacks, Purdy needs to be on your radar hardcore. Like, he needs to be it, and he's gonna be great a lot of weeks. But he will also have weeks where he does absolutely nothing. I mean, that's just the way the 49ers
offense runs. I believe in all the talent around him. But before this news came out, obviously, like everyone else, I was downgrading.
Of course.
Everyone else.
I moved him up to just above the Pickett range. So, I get it though. It's a tough range. They all have their warts. You're kind of just picking your guys at that point. Like, I mean, we could all come out here and give our opinions and you know be like, this is our guy. Like Troy, Andrew, AJ, I don't think either any one of us is gonna come out and be like, we are 100% right. Like, the margin of error on these guys at this point, any like point where we're talking about these range. Where ADP and rankings is the margin of error and is this, you know, when it comes to like picking it right, it's hard. It really is. We do all the research we can to help you guys out. And we hope we're right, but we're not always right. There's just no way we can be.
Yeah.
So we try though.
If Joe was always right, then he would have been the number one ranker, not the number two. So
Waz screwed me. Come on, Waz. What's wrong with you? My draft partner last year in King's Classic. How hilarious is that? So, all right, guys. Thank you for coming on. A great show. I had a good time doing it.
Definitely.
Awesome. Troy, let everybody know where they can find you and what you got going on this year.
Of course. Hey, y'all, you can find me at TKingMode on Twitter. That's my home base. And basically all social media platforms, you can find me at TKingMode. You can find me at Football Guys as well as Destination Devi. Really just going to be doing mainly video content, so make sure y'all check it out on both of those sites. Really appreciate the support, and thank you guys so much for having me on.
Yeah, man, absolutely.
Absolutely.
Coop, what you got?
Coop.
Yep, so easy enough. I learned from Troy. Post everything on your Twitter. That way people can find it. So if you follow me on Twitter at Coupe Fiasco, you're going to find everything I'm doing. All my articles are at Fantasy Alarm, and I got shows. I just sit here writing articles. And then when the light goes on, I start talking about football. as Troy knows, you know, 8 a.m, we're on. I'll be on 1 to 3 p.m. every day on Better Sports Network. So, you know, it's not too hard to find me talking ball. And thank you guys so much for having me, man. It's always a good time hanging out with people, you know, that you've actually met in person and that you're cool with. Like that's, that's
couple
always
weeks, man. We'll see you guys again in
maybe
Canada. Cool. You guys, dude, fans, if you are not coming,
got it.
We're gonna have to crash his.
It's gonna be a good time. Please show up. We love meeting you. That's what it's all about. That's what it's all about.
I know you're gonna try to come, but
we love it. all right, guys. So thank you for coming. We will talk soon.
All right,
AJ. That is it. For the show, we are going to have a brief hiatus because I'm going on vacation. But the Sunday I come back on August 6th, we're going to be talking about the riskiest players to draft with Bob Harris and Britt Flynn. So that'll be awesome. So that's it. That's all I got. Just make sure you hit that subscribe button, hit that like button, become an all-access member at fantasysixpack.net, and when's Loud Shirt Night? I'm not really sure. Do we do that? Should we figure that one out, Scampers?
Yes.
I don't know. I guess I can make that happen. I got loud stuff. You definitely have loud stuff. You have loud stuff to do for sure.
So damn,
I guess,
right.
I'm
just gonna not wear a shirt.
Oh, nope. That's the opposite of loud shirt. That's nope. Yes. Scampers, I retract that comment. I'm sorry for putting that up there. Anyway, that's it for the show. Oh, my gosh.
Look what you did.
And we will
big to thanks later. To everybody tuning in and putting the comments out there. We got Toronto Dave. We got Scampers. We got Strangler. We got Randy with the questions early on. I'm missing somebody here.
Yeah, I'm sure we are. Yeah, no, it's a good time.
And yeah, very good. Jack. Jackson.
Oh, at the expo. I meant when's Loud Shirt Night at the expo?
Oh.
I don't know. I didn't know that was a thing.
Friday?
Well, every I mean, night? I wore my Pac-Man suit on Friday night last year, but I'm not doing that again. Sorry. This is not happening. That was a one-time thing. I'm sorry.
Oh, and Jamie, of course.
Yes, of course. Anyway, we got to bounce.
All right.
Have a good night, everyone.
Cheers, everybody.
Peace.